for the next 3 weeks, we'll be looking at what the Word of God says and about who we are and what we have because of Jesus Christ. Following after that 3 weeks, we're going to study the book of Titus. So just so you kind of know what's going on. So when I was praying about what the Lord would have me share, and I've been praying for several months because Crystal asked me several months ago what to do, and it kept coming back. It keeps coming back. And it's really neat how it keeps coming back. And then here in the last few weeks of the church services, we're hearing the same thing. We're hearing through a prayer time the same thing. Like, the Holy Spirit is so good. And so the Lord would have me to share the inheritance that we have in Christ and what God's word tells us about who we are now as believers in him, in Jesus. Like, who am I? Who am I as a Christian? And sometimes we get the stuff in our head, and we can quote all those things, but it's not established in our heart. And so we need, as believers, we need to have that established. So in the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at what some of the Bible tells. We're only touching the surface here. That word is just packed. It's like we're just touching. But we're going to start at John 3:16. I put it in here so I could read it to you because I think I wanted to read more of it. But it says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I underlined in here, "For God so loved." That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing for us to grasp. Know that in your heart of hearts, God so loved the world. He just didn't love believers. God so loved everything that he created, everything that he created. And of course, we know that there was a fall, but with God so loving that world, it's just such a profound truth for us to be able to share. The God of love loves this world. And we look at the world through the lenses of our eyes, not through how God sees the world. So I believe that we can begin to see the world the way our God, who has always loved it, sees it, as we grasp some of those truths that are given to us. In 1 John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So I want us to start looking at some of the truths that we see and not be stuck necessarily in the law. So I have some papers that I'll have, if you could hand them out. I just gave them to you so that you'll have the references too, because you could look them up. And then and there's a little declaration for the very end. So don't lose your homework, because that might have homework on it. So I'm staying in John, and you may not have this scripture. You may not have every scripture I quote, but you'll have the main ones. So John 1:12. So what did Jesus say here? Yes. "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And then in verse 13, it says, "Children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." So right through that, and then when he starts out telling us right from the bat, we are born children of God because he so loved the world. You can say with me, can you say with me in confidence that you are today indeed a child of God? Do you believe it today? No hesitation, you know You know that you know that you know that no matter what happens, you are the child of the Most High God. Because if you don't, we're not letting you go till you get it. Because it's a foundational truth of knowing who we are. Without knowing that you're loved by the God Most High and what he has done for us, it's hard for us to walk in faith. It's hard for us to receive that grace. So there are really truths that we need to examine in our heart. In 2 Corinthians, and Ted, he was quoting this on New Year's Eve. He was quoting this and telling us about, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things are brand new. You are brand new, me and you. And we need to see ourselves as new creations. We need to turn our back on the old man, or old woman, or even that young man or woman, whoever we could be, even the child who's the child of new believers. We need to turn our back on that old, the old ways, and press forward, and everything is new. Everything that, from that time on, we just need to know that it keeps getting better and better. Let's read together Colossians chapter 2. I think I got it marked in here, so that might make it easier for me. There, I do have it. Colossians chapter 2, and I want us to read from 9 to 13. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought into the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands, your whole self ruled by flesh and put off when you were your whole self ruled by flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. You have been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness and stood against us and condemned us. He was taking it away, nailing it to the cross. So it's gone. Everything you were as the old man is gone. Now, some of you may keep saying that, oh, yeah, those old habits die hard. But that's not what the Word of God said. The Word of God said he took those. And so as soon as we start believing that he took those things, and that's not a part of who I am anymore, I can start rebuking that. When I hear that coming to me saying, oh, yeah, like, oh, you screwed this up again, it's like, no, you're a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar, Satan. God says, it doesn't matter if what I did. Or, you know, sometimes we'll speak out a word to somebody, like say something harsh to somebody. But right away, Holy Spirit will check that on you. And you're like, yeah, you're right. You're right, Holy Spirit. That's not who I am. I don't need to speak like that. And so he's put that provision in us. So we're able to live that life dead to the sin because Christ has made us alive. He said he's taken away our sin and disarmed the powers and authority. That's why I can say to Satan, you're a liar, because the Word of God says this. Because Jesus took that authority away. Otherwise, the enemy doesn't. Like, who are you? We even seen that in Scripture when he said, well, I can't remember what it is, something he knew Peter and John, but who are you speaking in Jesus' name? He didn't know you because that person didn't know Jesus and have him in his heart. So we are able to triumph over all of those situations because of the cross. Forgiven, our debt canceled. We're free from the guilt and shame. Hebrews 9:6 says, once and for all, Jesus' blood was enough. It was enough. Nothing more. Nothing more you're going to do. It's done. He was enough. Romans 8:1-2 and 4, it says, I am not condemned. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Do you feel free today? To get free. What else did he say here? Not condemned. And I want to read verse 4 here. I'll go back a little bit. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be met in us. We do not live according to the flesh, but we live according to his Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in us. So Jesus, and it's the key that Jesus only had to go to the cross one time for us. One time, and the sins of the world were diminished. They're done. And now some of people are just like, okay, well, so does that mean everybody who's going to be, because Jesus took our sins and eliminated it from our relationship with God. It just means that salvation is available to everyone on earth. Every man, every woman, no matter how wicked, how good, how evil, it's because of knowing Jesus' name. It's because we believe on Jesus Christ that we're saved. He took our sin. So the thing that's going to be keeping your neighbors and the people you don't know, and even all the wicked people we see on earth from entering the kingdom of heaven, isn't about how wicked they are, and it isn't about how great their sins are, because in the body of Christ, we got a whole lot of we've done just as many or just as evil or even thought them. It's because they have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That's the biggest thing. Like, hell will be full of people that just chose, they could be good people who just didn't think they needed Jesus. Now, you know, God is the author and finisher. So we never know what's going to happen on that day, and we never know what's written in everybody's books and whose name got written in there. So our job is to just be sure we're sharing that good news. We're sharing about Jesus. We're trying to reach people to how they can come to an understanding of how great our God is, and that Jesus could be their Lord and Savior. That's the thing. We were to go out and make disciples. All of us are to be that disciple. Doesn't mean that we have to have a fancy title as a teacher or a preacher or evangelist. It means I'm a child of God. I got a fancy title. I'm a child of the Most High God, and he says I'm royalty. And that gives me the authority to go out and share the good news. And it doesn't even mean that you have to share scriptures that you have memorized and you all know, which is really good. Sometimes you just have to be kind. You just have to show the lovingness of God and what he did. It's interesting when you study in the scripture and you look at Jesus and his life and what he did. After all told us, he was an old, ordinary looking man. Nothing would have attracted you. There was nothing in him. But the words he spoke, people's lives were changed because of the words he spoke. And that's how we're going to change the lives of people too, by the words we speak. So just to be conscious of that. So it's exciting that we now walk according to the Spirit, not the flesh. And then knowing who we are in Christ is a helpful thing. In Ephesians chapter 2, you might want to look that up. It's just 4 and 6, but so good. This whole book is so good. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavishes on us. We have all wisdom and understanding, and he's made known his mysteries. That's incredible. The Holy Spirit in us has made known the mysteries, and it's because of our believing in the one and only, we have that redemption for our sin. So you see that Jesus just going to the cross was absolutely magnificent. But if we never receive what he did for us, it's wasted on you. It's wasted on the world. He made that way for each of us. Philippians 3:20 tells us that we're citizens in heaven, which is just incredible that we're citizens in heaven. And in Acts 1, where the start of this is, Acts 1 is really, Jesus is actually speaking this. Yeah, this little Bible just is. It has the nice big pages, but it has them so skinny, or nice big letters, but the pages are so skinny that you can't flip them very good without licking them every time. So red letter, this is so Jesus says this to them. It said, 8. I might as well start at 1 or at 7. It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So some of the things that we're always trying to know is like, well, Jesus, when are you coming back? And one of those things, they even wanted to know when God was going to finish with the world then. But it was like, well, it's not for you to know, but it's for you to know that the Holy Spirit is coming. In John, he teaches throughout the Gospels that he needs to go so the Spirit can come, and the Holy Spirit would come to be able to remind us and teach us of the words of God. So we can read Acts 1 and 8 that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are witnesses right here in Camrose, Alberta, Canada, and in the world. Because it functions right here in our own community. I better hustle here because we want to do a couple of things. First Peter, we see that it says that you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all of their glory is like flowers in the field, and the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. This is the Lord that's been preached, the word that's been preached to you. That assurance that everything that's in Scripture, everything that God's given us is, and in this word, is that everlasting word. Those are the words that are our guide, and the Holy Spirit will give us the understanding to how to walk in those words. I just wanted us, Shannon had gave us those little communion cups for Christmas to have communion. And when I was praying about actually doing our first service of this Sunday school of the new year, I kept seeing a communion tray, the silver, actually that same very one, kept seeing that. And I just felt in my heart that, yes, we need to do communion together. But I wanted us to be able to come to the communion table today, not we acknowledge what God has done for us. We acknowledge the gift of his son. We acknowledge that we're saved. We're saved by his grace. We're saved by his love and his endurance. And how much we know that even in the prophet said, by his stripes we were healed. He's wounded for our transgressions. We are so grateful for God, for everything he's done. But I'd like us to come to the table today being so thankful for who he made you be. Who am I? Who do you call me to be? What is my walk? This is a time to reflect on, Jesus, how do I take what you've given me, what you've given me through your death, burial, and resurrection, and give it to the world? How do I show that? How do I show your love? How do I walk in the truth that I am chosen, that I'm forgiven, that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that you've called me to great things? And like, great things might just be cleaning my kitchen, but it's a great thing. God, we just need to not be able to put things in a box about how it should look. You know, like when they, I can't remember where it is, but they said, when did we feed you, Lord? And it's like when you gave that cup of cold water. Like the simple acts, simple everyday acts, it's like, Jesus, show us how to walk. That's the thing. Show us how to walk like you, to be you. We are the light of the world. And so the next 3 weeks, I want to help encourage us to be in that. And so I've had the bread and the juice. I don't know if I have enough. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 22, 24. I hope there's enough. I think I have enough juice. If not, there's more in the back and we'll bring it. I'm sorry, it's light rye bread, but you know, bread is bread. He's the bread of life. So if you come and come and take that together. So may we focus on the words today that we've read in scripture. We are God's children. We're new creations. We're redeemed. We're forgiven and set free. We are under no condemnation, and we are citizens of heaven, seated with Christ in heavenly places, and his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, dwells in each of us, and we've been born again. We're made anew. Jesus said to his disciples, this is my this is what I'm missing. Here it is. Jesus said, take and eat. This is my body. And he passed it, broke it, and passed it to his disciples. So eat this. I'm reading this out of Matthew. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink with you anew with my Father in heaven. So. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We remember all that you've done for us. We remember the great gift, Father God, that you gave us of your only begotten Son. We remember that you love the world and you love us and you've chosen us. Just thank you. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And Lord, that we in this 2025 will see great things and great changes in our lives as we walk in your Holy Spirit, guided by your truths. And we just give you praise and honor and glory. Amen. I guess we've got a little bit more time. How about, let's just stand here and do this little words at the bottom are a declaration on your page that I gave you. These were all the touchstone scriptures. And then this bottom is just a declaration. And I'd like you to keep your paper. And this week, I'd like you to try to remember this declaration. And look up these scriptures. And a good way for it to become true in your life is not just to read the word, but to speak it with your voice and also to write it. Write out that scripture. If you have a scrap piece of paper or a scrap thing, write that out. Just continue to thank God that these are the truths that are established in my life. You know, we really have no idea where this world is going, but we know that Jesus has overcome the world and given us peace, and it's peace through having his truths established in our lives. So here's our declaration. You can repeat it with me. I am a new creation. I am his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. I have put off the old man and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge and after the image of him who created me. I am seated with him in heavenly places, far above the principalities and power. I'm delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I am strengthened with all my might, with all the might, according to his glorious power. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have world overcoming faith. I am complete in Jesus Christ. You could go ahead and sit down unless you wanted to sing another song. Is there any thoughts? Do any of you struggle with seeing yourself in the truth of those words? Having it go from your head to your heart? It's good to be reminded. Yeah, it is good to be reminded. You know, we're in a world that is so bombarded with negative and or having to have all the excitement, right? Yet here we just sang, went down and spent time with God, got so close, we just stayed there. There wasn't any Ferris wheels, or it was a nice river and a brook, right? You know, like things in our life don't have to be in a mad race and a mad rush just because it's in the world. And the bad news, well, we already know who took care of the bad news. We know we have a Savior. And our enemy is not the people in our community, the people in politics. The enemy's been defeated. The Lord said Satan is under our feet. He crushed him. He crushed him and put him under our feet. And so if we keep thinking back and it's like, no, I don't need to go there. Is it James that tells us, resist the enemy and he will flee? Just say, no, not today, Satan. There's some little pop star who sings a song now about that. Not today. You're not taking me. I'm just going the other way. Like, change it up. So we're a little bit early. You got a little bit more time for coffee. I'll try to be longer, but I was afraid I wouldn't have time for us to have communion, and that was important. So thanks for the morning, and we'll see you next week.